Mr. Radin, give us your definition of telepathy, if you will.
Telepathy, the exchange of emotions, typically emotions, sometimes sense of information from one person to the other, that is not mediated through the ordinary senses.
Are they doing it on purpose, or does it just happen at random?
Well, in the laboratory, it's done on purpose, but I strongly suspect that it can happen unconsciously as well.
Now, does that include, let's say, and you cite the example in the book, Entangled Minds, and we've all done this. I don't know why. Maybe you can explain it, where the phone rings, and you know who it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know who it is. You pick it up, and there they are.
Right.
What causes that?
Before I give you an answer, I'll give a little event that happened with my wife and I.
Okay.
We oftentimes will read our email on our, each of us having a separate computer in the living room while watching television. Because, as you know, you get so much email all the time, if you don't keep up with it, then you get overwhelmed.
Oh, I know. You're boggled down for sure.
Right. So we're sitting in a place where neither of us can see the other person's screen, and I'm reading an email from a colleague who's talking about a book that he's writing on deja vu. And it's a revision of a previous book that he wrote, so he's calling it Deja Vu Revisited. And I thought that was a clever title. And the moment that I thought that, my wife suddenly says, I'm getting the strangest feeling of deja vu. So this is a very nice synchronicity, because
sure.
It's a synchronicity about synchronicities, essentially. It's a deja vu about deja vus. And I just like the recursive nature of the event.
Now, was she picking that up, do you think, from you, or maybe something from the computer electronically in her brain? What was causing that?
Well, I think it's very unlikely that she was picking up something from the computer in an electronic sense, but she may have picked it up clairvoyantly. My guess is that she was picking it up from me, because I had this internal sense of delight at the title of the book. But the fact that she experienced deja vu, it wasn't that she had the idea of deja vu, she actually experienced one. So this is shows something about the complexity in which people can have telepathic connections that don't necessarily involve a feeling of emotion or a particular thought.
What about the ability to really understand someone? So here you are, this is your wife, you've been together for a long time, you know each other, you understand each other. Would you two have a better chance of having this kind of telepathy event as opposed to two complete strangers?
I think so. And so here's my model of how I think what's going on.
All right.
Ultimately, I think that mind extends throughout the universe. It extends in such a way that it is not tightly bound by space or time. But now we're talking about all minds. Everyone's individual mind is actually part of this gigantic, interconnected, mind-like stuff. That is what I think we're seeing when we look at quantum entanglement. We're looking at a form of connectivity, but it's a much more complicated form when we're talking about it in terms of awareness. So the reason why my wife picks up on what I'm thinking or what I'm experiencing is because if you imagine a mind the size of the universe, although it's localized in you, well, what are you going to pay attention to? Each individual is probably scanning, to use a word, perhaps 10 things of interest in their lives. It's going to be loved ones, regardless of where they happen to be.
True.
And it may be something like events that will affect them today or tomorrow.
True. Not a day goes by. I have three children, all in St. Louis, Dean. Not a day goes by, especially when I'm in L.A., where I don't think about them. What are
right.
they doing? And, you know, I'll send them a little
right.
text message, an email, try to make a phone call to them. But you're right.
Okay. And that's at the conscious level. So if you're aware consciously of thinking of your children, then unconsciously you're always thinking of them. So now imagine that your attention actually extends throughout the universe as well, but you've just created a couple of filters. There's a filter on each child. It's always there. It's always being looking and being concerned about what is the state of this child. If something happened to a child, whether it's positive or negative, it doesn't matter, that will tend to come to your awareness more likely than what's happening on Pluto. Even though, if you tuned your attention towards Pluto, you could probably detect that as well.
You might. Now, does this, okay, you may have already answered this then with that statement, but does whatever it is in this universe that allows this to happen, will it always occur in a very natural state, or do you really, as an individual, have to be tuned in to do this? Do you have to practice, or is it just always there for you?
It is always there because that's the fabric of reality. That's the stuff we are made out of. It's not like your mind has to go out and find something or make the connection. Rethink this as the actual medium in which we live. That's the connectivity that's there all the time.
Is it like a radio in that the signal, you know, where we are, we broadcast to nearly 500 radio stations. Our signal is out. Whether somebody's radio is on or not, it's out there. But the minute that radio's turned on, they get us. Is it almost the same way as that?
So, yeah, some people think of consciousness. You're thinking, what is consciousness? Some people think it is literally the construction of the brain. It's brain stuff. Other people say, no, the brain is actually a receiver of consciousness. The brain, it becomes like a radio. So, I mean, imagine that you're a caveman and you're looking at a working radio. And of course, you would think that the voices coming out of the radio, there must be people inside the radio.
You would think little people.
Right. And so you could take it apart and you're looking for the people and you can't find any and you're puzzled. So in modern neuroscience, we take apart the brain and we're puzzled because we can't find where consciousness is. And this is what gives rise to this notion of the brain as a receiver of consciousness.
Yet there's got to be a real science behind this somewhere.
Well, I think what we're beginning to see with quantum physics is a description of this fabric of reality that we live in. And as he said before, that it is as though the fabric of reality is made up out of these non-local threads that we can see in the laboratory now. But we're much more than simply a fabric. It's as though the fabric can be used to create a quilt. It's a higher complexity structure, but it's still made up out of non-local threads. And the quilt then is made into a tapestry, and the tapestry is made into something else, and so on. And what you're doing by using this metaphor is you're going from the subatomic world into atoms, into molecules, into biology, chemistry, and so on, all the way up the line until you end up at the human, at human experience. But that human experience is still built up out of the same stuff that we see in fundamental physics. And what we see down there is something that is extremely different than what your ordinary senses tell you about the world. At that level, there's nothing that's separate. There's no isolation, and everything is connected.